Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
When I was preaching in the Boot Hill of Missouri, a guy had walked all of his life, worked all of his life to build his dream home. The pastor drove me by that house and said, "That's his dream home." Said he worked all of his life to build that house. The first night that he lived in that house, he put the plans of the house on his chest, and when they went to wake him up, he was dead. He lived in his dream house one night. Friend, I've been there so many times, I can tell you, when it comes to the end, you don't want confidence in things. You want confidence in the author and the finish. A man I did business with was a godless man. The first time I ever talked to him, he said, "I hate preachers." And 15 minutes later, he said, "You're the only preacher I like." And I was able to witness him, but I cannot tell you that he accepted Christ. But I can tell you this, that when he was dying in the hospital, he took off his oxygen mask and said, "Put $50,000 on North Carolina," and he died 5 minutes later. That's not the way I want to go. I don't want to have confidence in the wrong thing. I want to be like my pastor friend in Indiana, the pastor of the same church for over 50 years, and is riding down the road with his pastor's son, and looked over at him and said, "Dude, I'm getting ready to go to heaven. Take care of the people. Love the saints, pastor the church," lift up both hands and said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit," put his chin on his chest and stepped into the presence of Jesus. I've got confidence in Jesus Christ. We must have confidence in the gospel and not let that confidence erode with the passing of time, our age, our changing cultures. All have something in confidence. Hart P. Danks, the great songwriter and author and poet of a day gone by, penned the beautiful words, "Silver threads among the gold, darling, we are growing old." That made him rich, and when he got rich, they divorced, and when they found his body, they found a crumpled piece of paper written by a lead pencil. It said, "It's so terrible to die alone." That's not the way I want to have confidence. This past week, one of the richest guys in San Antonio, a real estate mogul, called me and he said, "Steve, I hadn't seen you for a few years. I'm 84 years of age. I want to see you. If you'll come to my house, I've got some gifts for you." So I went to his house for him and his precious wife. They're Presbyterian. He gave me a saddle worth $1,000, a few thousand dollars worth of stuff. But he didn't want to give me gifts. It was a trap. He got me there to pray, of all things. He said, "Pastor Steve, you remember 20-some years ago when I was dying right here in the hospital and they gave me a few weeks to live? You came and prayed and I revived and I've lived 20-some years." He said, "I'll never forget that. Now my son-in-law is sick and I got you here to pray." Oh, I want confidence in Jesus Christ. I want confidence in Jesus Christ. And the devil's number one goal is to keep you from finding Christ. And the second goal is to cause you to lose your confidence in him. Let time erode it away. Let circumstance just tear it away. But I can tell you today, I've got confidence. I've got confidence in the Lord God Almighty and wisdom. Trust in the Lord's understanding in all. It's not my understanding. I know people that feel like they're brilliant. Understanding. I know people that feel like they're brilliant. They feel like they're intellectually secure. They feel like a PhD and a diploma on a wall is somehow giving them confidence. But the smarter I become, the more I realize that my strength is in the Lord. I've got confidence in Jesus Christ. When I was a 10-year-old boy, Christ saved me. When I was a 13-year-old boy, God filled me with the Holy Spirit. When I was a 16-year-old boy, God called me to preach. And all confidence in Him, not in armies and money and technology and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. I've had a lot of horses in my life. I'm in the top 25 breeders of American painted horses in the world. I've had thousands. But I've placed no confidence in horses or chariots or things or real estate or money. My confidence is in the Lord. Others have confidence in their own righteousness. Have you ever met religious people that just exude that atmosphere of self-righteousness? You can just tell they're pretty sure of themselves, not in the Lord, in themselves. I've met a lot of those people, but the Bible warns us not to have confidence in our own righteousness. I've told you 4 or 5 times because I was so astounded. I met a little lady in Illinois. She was a friend of my parents, and she was a sweetheart. She was just so kind. She was a school teacher. She was soft-spoken. Her daddy was a pastor. And she said to me one time, she said, "You know, I didn't really need to get saved because," she said, "I've been such a good person all my life." She said, "I teach school and I help children." She said, "Steve, I've never said a swear word in my life." She said, "I don't think I've ever told a lie." She said, "I just really didn't need to get saved." Said, "My daddy insisted on it, but I just didn't really need it." She didn't understand. She still wasn't saved. Friend, if you think you can save yourself, you ain't saved. If your confidence is in your own righteousness, you see, I've given over $1 million, a lot more than that in my lifetime. But my confidence is not in my giving record or my tithing record. I don't know many people that's been in more church services than me. Maybe some people have prayed more hours than me. Maybe some have fasted more days. But I place no confidence in my prayers or my fasting or my giving or my church attendance, because the Bible describes that to me. And it says, "But we are all an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do as fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." Friend, my confidence is not in my righteousness. My confidence is in His righteousness. I believe He's altogether lovely. The more you realize that you are imperfect, the more you realize how perfect He is. The perfect is not in the person that comes. It is in the sacrifice that is applied. I'm covered with His righteousness. I wear a robe of righteousness. I'm covered with His blood. Oh, yet doubtlessly, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteous which is of God by faith. My confidence is in Jesus Christ. Have you ever just been astounded and confounded by the fact that David is called the man after God's own heart, and he was an adulterer and a murderer? Does that kind of shock you? I've always grappled with that. It looked to me like it'd be somebody that was the husband of one wife, and certainly not an adulterer. Somebody that had never insulted, let alone kill him. But David was a man after God's own heart. And he said this. He said, though I make my bed in hell, thou art with me. I am saved not because I'm perfect and not because I am holy in myself. I am saved because in him I live and I move and I have my being. I have all confidence in Jesus Christ that he is greater. You see, my sin, not your sin, but my sin gives me tremendous love for his mercy and his grace. What a God. He's not a God that seeks out the perfect. He is a God that seeks out the lost and the blind and the lame and the sick and the sinful, and said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Friend, my confidence is not in my love toward him, but his love toward me. I have got the ultimate confidence in Jesus Christ. I have confidence in his promises. I believe what God said. He is able to perform that which he promised, Abraham said. He looked in the mirror and saw an old man staring back and said, you're going to be the father of many nations. Not because you're young and strong, but simply because God said it, and it's a promise. I'm saved not because I'm the most faithful. I am saved because God said I'm saved. Because he said, I am in the Father's hand, and no man can pluck me out. I have the utmost confidence in the promises of God. They are yea and amen. He said, nothing will separate you from the love of God. Not things past, not things present, not things to come. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. My confidence is in the Lord God. I was being dead in sins and uncircumcision in my flesh, but he has quickened together, and he has forgiven all my trespasses. I not only have confidence in his promises, I have confidence in the cross. The cross is amazing. I see people with a cross around their neck, and I wonder, do you have any idea what it means, that cross? The Bible said all of the ordinances that were against me. Do you know there's a lot of accusations against you? Do you know your ex-husband just keeps telling what a terrible woman you are? Your ex-wife, your mother-in-law, your ex-boss, there's all kinds of accusations against you. Do you know the Bible said that the devil himself, night and day, accuses the brethren? But all of the accusation against me, and there's been lots of them, some of them true and most of them not. But the Bible said that Christ nailed all the ordinances that were against me to that cross. I've got faith in that cross. I believe the cross works. I believe it works to the uttermost. I believe it is the greatest thing that's ever happened to humanity, that Jesus Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. I cast not away my confidence. I've got confidence when I praise, he receives my praise and inhabits it because he said he did. I've got praise that when Kevin and I gather together, he's in our presence because he said he would. I've got confidence he'll never leave me, not forsake me, because he said he would not. I've got confidence, and I am not going to be in any way persuaded to cast that confidence away. I am confident that he can keep that which I have committed to him, from which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. It's a wonderful thing to have trust. I had a friend One of the greatest Christians I ever met. What a great Christian he was. He got saved when he was in college. Just an amazing guy. He just walked perfectly before the Lord. He was one of the greatest preacher I ever heard, and he was the greatest funeral preacher I ever heard. He was just amazing. He never said a slang word. He just was a perfect Christian. And I just marveled him so much, and he went to be with the Lord a couple of years ago. But one day he called me and he said, "Fender." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, I talk to him every day. He said, "I'm 50 miles from San Antonio. I'll be there in an hour. Are you at your church?" I said, "I am." He said, "I'll be there. Wait on me." He came in, and when he came in, he had a shopping bag. And in that shopping bag was steel boxes, cash boxes. You know how much money you can put in a cash box if you get the right denomination? About $100,000. If you put in $100 bills, you can put $100,000 in a cash box. I know, I've done it. And so he had a shopping bag full of cash boxes. He came in and he set it down before my desk. I said, "What is that?" He said, "Money." I said, "What are you doing with a shopping bag full of money?" He said, "There's hundreds of thousands of dollars in there." He said, "My church is underwater. My house is underwater. The hurricane has tore everything down. And I don't have nothing to do with my money." But he said, "There's one man on earth I trust. It's you. Take care of my money." He handed me that bag full of money, Warren. And I cried, not because of the money. I didn't know I'd ever been trusted like that. It's a wonderful thing when somebody trusts you. He said, "There's not another man on earth I would trust." Say, how much was in there, Steve? I don't know, because I never took the first cash box out of the shopping bag. I just kept it for 2 years and didn't tell anybody. And I'd call him, I'd say, "Brother, come and get your money." He'd say, "No, it's safe. It's with you." And finally one day I called him, "Would you meet me at Houston's restaurant in Houston, Texas tomorrow for dinner?" He said, "I will." So I walked into Houston's restaurant. Nobody knew what I was carrying. I was carrying a shopping bag. I set it down under the table. I said to him, "Brother, there's your money. I'm tired of handling your money." He said, "Okay, but I'd rather you keep it." He said, "I trust you more than I trust myself." That's the greatest compliment that I've ever had in my life. I returned it all uncounted. I don't know how much it was, but I knew he loved me and trusted me. Folks, I want my trust for the Lord and my confidence to be like that. Whatever I've committed to him, praise God, it's there. You can trust the Lord. Do not cast away your confidence. Job said, "Though you slay me, yet will I trust you." Some say, "If I get a new car, I'm going to serve God. If I have no car, I'm going to serve God. If they repossess my car, I'm going to serve God." Somebody said, "If I get the nice house in the Dominion, I'll trust the Lord if he provides that. I'll trust the Lord if I'm living under a bridge in Miami, Florida. I'm going to trust the Lord. I've got confidence in Almighty God. I've been serving the Lord these many years, and he's never failed me. He is just. He is favorable. He is kind. He is loving. He is companion. He is companion that you can never lose. He'll be there no matter what. And he is forgiving. He doesn't demand that your life be perfect to love you. He doesn't matter that you're not perfect to save you and to hold you in his hand. What a guy. I've got confidence in this God. Total confidence. And folks, here I am. I was young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. He's my God. I've been in the pulpit and he was there. I've been in my home and he was there. I was in the hospital and the words of Becky's song, the doctor shook their head and looked forlorn, but he was there. He was there. I can trust in the Lord. I'm confident in the Lord. Trump can't get me out of my faith. Obama can't get me out of my faith. The next guy can't get me out of my faith. The Republicans can't get me out. The Democrats can't get me out. The church at its best can't get me out. The church at its worst can't get me out. The saints that love me can't get me out. The saints that discard me can't get me out. Preachers that discount me can't get me out. I've got confidence in Jesus Christ that he is my ever-present help in the time of need. And I've been breaths away from seeing Jesus Christ. And I'm like the Apostle Paul. Either way, I win. Either way, I win. He said, I'm betwixt and between. He said, if I die, I see Jesus. If I don't die, I stay here with you. That's exactly where I am. I'm in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody's going to take my prayer. Nobody's going to take my praise. My God is my God, and that's that. It's forever settled. He and I are friends that stick closer than a brother. And praise God, I've found this. He's a good God, a kind God, a compassionate God. He is a God that picks me up when I fall. He doesn't look at me and say, you got there by yourself, get up there by yourself. He said, you got down there by yourself, but I'm going to help you back up. He is a God that will not give up on me. I've had some people that gave up on me. I had a guy one time, he gave me a plaque. I got this guy out of the barrio. I'll never forget him. I'll just tell you his first name. His name was Joe. Joe's been gone for years. You don't know Joe. Nobody in this building except Becky and I know Joe. But I love Joe. I still love Joe. And Joe gave me a beautiful plaque, Mary. It said, your God is my God. Where you go, I will go. He said, where you abode, I will. Oh, it was a beautiful plaque. I don't know what happened to Joe. But in about 60, he'd been with me for years. In about 60 days, Joe came and said, I don't believe in you anymore, Pastor. And he said, here's a paper. I said, what is that? He said, that's all the tithe I've paid to this church, and I want it all back. I said, it don't work that way. He said, I'm going to get a lawyer and sue you and get it back. I thought you were my friend. I thought that my God was your God. No, he gave up on me. A lot of people have had confidence in me, like my friend that trusted me with all the money, but some of them have given up on me, and they've done it without reason. But you know what? I've given God plenty of reason, Warren, to give up on me. But he just won't quit. He just keeps loving me. He just keeps picking me up and washing me in his blood. I am that one that was fallen by the wayside, and he picked me up, and he took me to the innkeeper and said, take care of him. What a God I serve. What a God I serve. And you know who my biggest enemy is? It's not people that lost confidence in me. It's not people that have gone off and said bad things. It's not even the devil. My biggest enemy is the guy growing between these two elbows. It's just myself. Sometimes I doubt. And when I doubt, I'm the worst enemy I can possibly have. Because my faith is not supposed to be in Steve. It's supposed to be in Jesus. And so the greatest thing that the devil can do now that you're saved, oh, he tried to keep you from getting saved. Remember, they told you don't go to church and don't go to that church. And you remember your in-laws laughed at you for becoming a Christian. They tried to, but they couldn't stop you. You went through hell and high water to get to the cross. You got saved. And the devil was so upset, but he didn't give up. Now here is what he comes with. It's called condemnation. Even Paul experienced that. Oh, wretched man that I am, when I would do good, evil is present. When you go through a trial, the devil will bring up every sin you committed. It can be 3 decades old. He'll bring up every failure and he'll say, you're not saved. You know the reason you're sick is the judgment of God. Isn't that what Job's friends told him? That ain't the reason you're sick. You're sick because there's a devil out of hell. And you need to stand up and say, wait just a minute, devil. You're not going to make me sick and then tell me it's my own fault. It's your fault, devil. You're not going to make me fall and cause me to stumble and then tell me it's my fault. It's your fault, devil. But I got somebody bigger than the devil. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in this world. And praise God, I refuse to come down to condemnation. It comes down to this. In your life, it's confidence versus condemnation. Which one are you going to do? Are you going to be condemned? Listen to this. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Friend, I refuse to be condemned for my sin and my failure. If I were to accept condemnation, I would have to tell you that Calvary is flawed. That Calvary didn't totally work. It almost worked. That Jesus' death was pretty good, but not amazing grace. It was just grace, but not amazing grace. Friend, I can't accept condemnation. No matter what you say, no matter what anybody says, though I make my bed in hell, thou art with me. It doesn't matter. I refuse to be condemned because I believe in the name of his dear son. I believe in the name of Jesus Christ. And I believe it's a strong tower. And they that run into it are safe. So it's confidence versus condemnation. The Bible said, if your heart condemns you. Somebody said, follow your heart. Follow your heart's bad advice. The Bible said, your heart is deceitfully wicked. Until you hide the word of God in your heart, it will deceive you. David said, it deceived me, and then I hid the word of God in my heart that I would not fail God or would not sin against God. But your heart will condemn you. Your heart will bring up things that are long forgotten. I got a friend. I had a friend. He went to heaven. But he and I were the best of friends, and we always tried to get the other one and embarrass each other. That was part of our relationship. He fainted one day, He fell one day off the platform preaching in one of the largest Pentecost churches in America. His wife, being my friend, also sent me a video of it. It was funny, folks. He fell totally down. He's preaching on the covenant. And he just fell totally down. But he never dropped the microphone. He just rolled over, came up, kept on preaching. I called him and I said, Mike, did you fall off the platform, buddy? And I said, not only that, I heard that same week that a Down syndrome man in Lake Charles, Louisiana, knocked you out. Totally unconscious. I said, did you fall off the platform? And did you get knocked out in the church parking lot? He said, Fender, both of those things happened. And don't ever mention it again. I mentioned it every time I saw him. Because we were friends. We were just looking for something to embarrass each other with. That's the way the devil is. It don't matter if your sin was 50 years ago. It's been under the blood, and God himself has forgotten. He'll bring it up. And if you're not in faith, you will let that condemnation resonate with you. But friend, as far as I am concerned, no matter what you say, or the devil says, or anybody else says, I'm holy. I'm holy. I'm washed in the blood of Jesus, because my confidence is not in my life's performance, not the sermons I've preached or the checks I've written or the praises I have given or the prayers I have made. My confidence is in Jesus Christ, and He is altogether lovely. It's been paid, and it's been paid in full. And so if my heart tries to condemn me, God is greater. God said, don't listen to your condemners. Don't listen to the devil. Don't listen to your own heart, but listen to me. I say you are washed in my blood. I say you are begotten by my own record. You're saved, you're saved, you're saved. And the more that you can have confidence in God, the greater your faith will be. Because when you get sick, you won't listen to Job's friends. I deserve to be sick. No, I don't. By His stripes, I am healed. I don't deserve this. I'm not running on my own record. I'm running on Jesus' record. When God the Father looks at my record, He doesn't look at Steve Fender. He looks at Jesus Christ. He said, look, He's perfect. There's no guile. There's no deception. He needs to be healed. He needs to be strengthened. He needs the way made. He needs the door open. He needs the provision. He needs it all. Why? Because I am in Christ. My friend in Louisiana, one of the greatest preachers I know, has built an entire ministry. Mark Hankins, what a great preacher he is. He's built an entire ministry on two words. You know what they are? In Christ. Every time he preaches, he uses that, in Christ. I just ask you, are you in Christ? If you're in Christ, no weapon formed against you will prosper. But if you're out of Christ, condemnation will dog you, and condemnation will stay home for church. You're not worthy. It'll tell you that your prayers don't reach heaven. It'll tell you that your praises are not inhabited by God. But all of those are lies of the devil. Friend, I'm something. I'm something, not because of who I am in flesh, but who I am in Christ. I'm covered with Christ from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. And the devil is so mad. He's trying to get me to doubt, not myself. He's trying to get me to doubt the finished work of Christ. But what did Jesus say? Did He say it started? Did He say it's partially done? I think He said, it is finished. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, you're saved. I'm telling you, you're holy. I'm telling you, you're royal. I'm telling you, you're blood washed. I'm telling you, you're blood bought. I'm telling you, you're going to see Jesus face to face. I'm going to tell you, you're in this world, but not of this world. I'm going to tell you, sickness is not what you deserve. You deserve to be in divine health, because Jesus Christ paid it all. Give God some praise in this house. Give God some praise in this house. If you are in this room right now, and here's the number one enemy that we are against today. If you are experiencing any condemnation in your life, I want you to get out of your pew, and I want you to walk up here, and I want you to begin to confess, I am in Christ. I am in Christ, and you can't get to me without going through the cross. You can't get to me without going through the blood of Jesus. If you have anything in your past you regret, and you think about it every day or every week, and maybe there's somebody that brings it up and they remind you of it, or maybe it's just the devil, or maybe it's your own heart, and it just keeps coming around. And keeps coming around. I want you to get out of your chair today and say, now God is going to give me the ability to forget this thing that happened a long time ago, because it's no longer real. It's dead and it's buried and it's under the blood of Jesus Christ. And I am not in condemnation. I now have confidence that God is able to keep that which I've committed to Him. And I have committed my soul and my body and my life to Him. And I am blessed coming in and going out. If God is here and He's trying to free you from something, cooperate. Just step out of your pew and walk down here and say, right now, I'm free. And He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. In Jesus' name.